Tonight's scripture reading will be from 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
One of the things that's been enjoyable about getting settled into the new house, and especially this time of year, is seeing all of the plants that we wondered, you know, what are these things? What's going to be growing here? And seeing what it is, you know, although I can't identify most of it, but it's pretty. There's a lot of flowering plants of different sorts, different colors, bushes, all types of things. And it's a time of growth and a time where things spring forth and it seems back to life. And we observe all around us, you know, when we look at our children and the process of growth and development, and we see that and we appreciate God's handiwork, his design, as he makes things to follow a predicted pattern of development. And we see what is normal and what is expected. And God expects the same in terms of the spiritual or inner man. When he looks down upon his children, he knows and understands that when you first become one of his children, when you become a part of his family, that you are in fact a babe, as we read. And as a newborn babe, though, there is to be the natural desire for the pure milk of the word, just like babies are born with that desire to cry for their food when they're hungry, and they are fed and they grow, and that process continues. And then they become mature and full-grown adults, and they're capable of many things, and they are able to overcome many things, and they're able to help other people, and they can do so much. And that's what God wants to see in our own lives. So spiritual growth is something that God expects of us. And of course, there are things that we're going to look at tonight relating to this whole subject. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul reminds us that even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There is something that should continue all of our lives, and that is the process of renewal, growth, development. It should never stop. No matter how long we're here, in fact, as we grow and develop, and I've heard older preachers say this, some of my instructors at the School of Preaching said this, that the more they learned and understood, the more they discovered there was to know and understand, and it was just seemed so large, so much to take in. And so spiritually, we need to keep on growing. Tonight, as we study together, we're going to be looking at these four points. We'll talk about understanding spiritual growth. Then we'll look at some hindrances to spiritual growth. We'll talk about the requirements for spiritual growth. And then finally, the benefits of spiritual growth. So let's begin with this idea of understanding what we're talking about. First of all, it is something that is non-negotiable. It's not something that is optional. It is something that God expects of us. Something that must happen. And in the case of Hebrews chapter 5, it relates to growth to the point where you're able to communicate God's word to others. Now, how does this blend in with the passage in the book of James that talks about don't be teachers of many people? Don't many of you become teachers? Well, not everybody is to be a public teacher, right? Not everybody is to take on that responsibility and role. But everybody should be able to teach other people. Got to teach your children. That's an expectation, right? That parents teach their children. Can we teach our neighbors? Can we teach people around us just a one-on-one sort of a thing? That's expected of us. We all have to get to the point where we are able to do such things. Because as the Holy Spirit reveals to us here, there is an expectation from God that those in Christ become teachers. For though by this time, now, after such amount of time has passed, you ought to be teachers. But instead, he says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So there was, unfortunately, in that case, the lack of development to where they could teach the fundamentals. And that's what he's talking about here. There's an expectation that we should be able to teach some of the basic things. And in fact, the beginning of Hebrews chapter 6, there are some things mentioned there that are just some of the basic fundamental teachings about baptisms and, you know, basic things that we should grasp and understand. Should we be able to teach people how to be baptized or how to become a Christian, what the steps of salvation are? Absolutely. Should we be able to show them where Jesus talks about establishing His church, the singularity of the church? Yes, we should. Because we live in a world where people are completely confused about what the nature of the church is. So some of these basic teachings we can learn from the Bible, memorize verses, or even just have something jotted down in the back of your Bible on some of those blank pages that they have there for those very purposes. And through that means, you have a method or an approach to teach God's Word. So it's an expectation. It's an expectation of God. But it's also something that clearly is commanded specifically. Now, we read from what Peter wrote about as newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. Peter also in his second epistle speaks about growth again. And in chapter 3, verse 18, he gives this command, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow in the grace of God? How do you grow in God's favor? By putting into practice what He teaches you and being a faithful, loyal, devoted child of God. His favor grows and His favor increases toward you because He sees your devotion and your steadfastness, your commitment to doing what is right. So we can grow in grace. Second thing is knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to grow in knowledge is just simply opening this book and spending a lot of time with it. It's the meditating day and night. It's just like you do or did when you were in school, right? If you wanted to pass college courses, you couldn't just, you know, listen in class and do nothing after that. In fact, in class, probably you needed to take notes to record that information down so you could take it home, study it, and commit it to memory. How much more are the things that relate to eternal life and teaching people so that they can go to heaven? Certainly, there are things that we can do that will help us in this process to grow in the grace and knowledge. So it is a command of God. And it is certainly also something that is enabled by God. He doesn't expect us to do something that then He doesn't help us to accomplish. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul was warning of some dangers of those who might teach things that would lead them away from the truth. So he says in Colossians 2, beginning at verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And so this is the way of one who is in error. Don't be led away by this one in error. And furthermore, what does he say? Concerning this one who is in error, he doesn't do what we should do. He does not hold fast to the head. Who's the head? That's Christ. From whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So through Christ, from the head, all the body is nourished, knit together. So through Christ, we are strengthened. We are built up. We are made a strong unit as a family, but individually as our own portion, our own person, we are strengthened through Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that, of course, he does through his word. It is increase that comes from God. So God enables this growth. this development. He blesses our efforts. If we begin to put forth the effort to know this book, and we spend the time, and we open it, and we pray to God and ask Him to help us to understand it, will He not? Will He not aid us in this process to be able to gain that which we long for and desire? Doesn't He say that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled? Well, seeking after the truth is a righteous and good thing. That's certainly included in that. And we ought to trust and believe that God will most certainly fill us as we make the effort. And so spiritual growth is expected, commanded, and it is enabled by God. But there are some hindrances sometimes that will take place when it comes to the spiritual growth that needs to be happening. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And one reason is because we become satisfied where we are. We just, without really giving any thought to it, we just, become distracted by things. We get okay with where we are. We become content with our present place. And we don't really make effort to move beyond where we are. People sometimes run into roadblocks for different things. Sometimes people might be wanting to lose weight, and they hit a barrier and they can't seem to pass that. Or there's some people, young men maybe, that are wanting to gain weight, and they get to a certain point, don't seem to be able to put on anymore. And so there are certain things that you do to get past those hurdles and to make continued progress. So we cannot become satisfied with where we are. We cannot reason, I'm okay where I am. That's where Laodicea was, right? Revelation 3, verse 17, they said, their attitude was, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. They were content. They were seemingly, in their own minds, at a state of goodness where they didn't have to advance beyond. Everything is fine. We're doing well. We have what we need. We're, spiritually minded people, but they were not where they needed to be. God saw them, and what did He see? He said that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So on the spiritual side of things, there was quite a different picture, because the inner man was not being taken care of. The inner man wasn't being fed, nourished, exercised. None of that was happening. And therefore, these people neglecting the inner man were by God seen as those who were severely lacking, and their souls were in jeopardy because of where they were. And so we cannot become satisfied. Another thing that will hinder spiritual growth is holding on to sin. If we are not willing to give up things that are sinful, how can we grow? It's like wanting to keep a toxin in our body. You can't be healthy, you can't thrive, you cannot be as healthy and vibrant as you need to be if you are filled with a toxin that is going to affect your health and bring you down and kill you. Well, there are certainly sins that sometimes are held on to, and sin is fatal. You don't toy with sin. You don't hang on to sin. You have to let it go. You have to be dead to it. It doesn't mean you'll never stumble, but you cannot hold on to the practice of something and say, well, I'm just going to keep doing this. And sometimes it's not because we don't know. It's because we don't want to follow that way. We don't want to do this particular way, and therefore we come up with various reasons why we're not going to. I don't agree with that teaching. Everybody else is doing this, and so I'm going to go along with them. But do we spend time searching forth what the truth is? Because here's the tragic thing. If we don't have a love of the truth, God will allow us to believe a lie. We become so convinced of it that it becomes truth to us, and then we have no hope whatsoever. The Apostle Paul wrote of that matter when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And there Paul, when he dealt with this matter, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and at verse 10, he's speaking about the deception that some were under among those, he says, who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This has to be our passion, that no matter what, I want to know the truth and I want to follow God. Jesus died for me. I want to give my life to Him. But notice he continues in verse 12, and for this reason, what reason? they don't love the truth. Because they don't love the truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And sometimes that's what it boils down to. This is unrighteous, but I like it. It's pleasurable. I want to keep doing it. And so we close our ears, we close our eyes to the truth, and the tragic results we see. Condemnation, he says. We cannot hold on to sin and grow. In Ephesians 4 and verse 22, we're told that we must put off, notice, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If you hold on to a sin here, guess what's going to happen? It's going to enable you to be that much more open to doing this sin over here, because you know what? Sin is deceitful, and sin kind of snowballs and it grows within one's own life. You read about that very principle as we did this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You put away sin from the church because sin will infect the congregation. What if you allow sin in your life and you don't do anything about it? It's going to infect the rest of your body spiritually, and you're going to just have a terrible situation develop in your life. We cannot hold on to sin. Another thing that is a hindrance to spiritual growth is failing to eat, right? You cannot grow if you do not eat. There was a story about a family that was driving from Tampa to Fort Lauderdale, and as far as the eye could see, there were orange trees everywhere, just loaded with oranges. And this family stopped for breakfast. The husband, he ordered orange juice with his eggs. But the waitress came and she, you know, took his order, she apologized and said, you know, I'm sorry, but we can't give you any orange juice. The machine is broken. He couldn't believe it. What do you mean? The machine is broken. There's oranges everywhere. And the tragedy was that they had become dependent upon a machine to get their orange juice. And sometimes as God's people, that's what we're like. We might be surrounded by Bibles in our homes, but if for some reason we cannot get to the assembly, we don't get fed. We don't eat. We don't know how to feed ourselves. And that is a terribly dangerous place to be. We must feed upon God's Word on a daily basis. And remember the warning in Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then he says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee from being priest to me. God's people didn't know the Word, and they drifted away from it because the knowledge wasn't there within their hearts. So we have to seek out, cling to, desire, and long for this truth, God's Word, like a newborn babe longs for the milk. Another hindrance is that sometimes we fail to take action. There are things that God just explicitly lays out and says, if you do this, things are going to be great in your life. And what does he say? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, he says what? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. All of these things you build upon, and here they are laid out for you. He says, build upon your faith and develop these things in your life. Now, will this not enable, facilitate spiritual growth? Yes, absolutely. But do we go and do we say one by one, you know, how can I be more and just go down this list and try to implement these things specifically into our lives? And remember when we fail to do so and see the problems and make the necessary adjustments so that we might be this kind of a person. This is very, very important. Another issue that arises in terms of hindering our spiritual growth is becoming entangled with the various things in this life that cause us to focus and channel our energies that could promote spiritual growth, but they go somewhere else. instead of to build us up spiritually and to make us advance in the body of Christ and develop and move forward. So in 2 Timothy 2:4, this is where Paul was in his words to Timothy, speaking to him and making this analogy of spiritual warfare and how that as soldiers take this particular course and they don't in their warfare take up a secular job because they have to be focused on their mission or their responsibilities and obligations. He says, do the same thing spiritually. Think about your own need to be dedicated to what God has given you as a soldier of the Lord. No one, he says, engaged in warfare, talking about earthly warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That's true. If we get entangled, we're going to be unable to do the work we need to do. It's like getting trapped in a web or being tied up and you can't move and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. This is what he says happens when you as a child of God, though you're supposed to be on a mission for the Lord and doing, fulfilling certain responsibilities and taking various precautions and refraining from other things, but yet you're so focused on the wrong things that the right things and the necessary things don't get done. We need to treasure what is spiritual. Matthew 6 verses 19 through 21 is where Jesus talks about laying up treasure in heaven and not upon the earth. So focus in the right place, he teaches there. And then Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, where Paul urges us to seek those things which are above where Christ is. So let your heart be given to spiritual matters. It's so necessary for us to put aside from us and see the things of this life truly as worthless things. I mean, not that they're necessarily bad things, but in the final analysis, they're pretty much worthless things. Often the things that we devote so much time to. But instead, there are those things that are worthwhile, that are spiritually productive, that result in souls being saved, and these are the things to which our efforts ought to be given in a very full measure. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, verse 2. But let's look at then some requirements for spiritual growth. What are some requirements for spiritual growth? Well, one thing we need to do is, as we read in John chapter 15, stay connected to the vine. That implies, of course, that you first got connected to the vine. And the vine is Christ, and individual people, Christians, are the branches. But you have to get connected to the vine, first of all, in order to grow spiritually in such a way as it to be worthwhile. I mean, there are people in the religious world that grow in the qualities and in the spiritual attributes that we read about in God's Word. But for it to be beneficial, we have to be in the body of Christ. You could potentially grow in certain things. You know, you become more patient. You become more kind. But what if you're not even in the body of Christ? You haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins. You haven't believed the truth. Those two things are essential, right? Belief and baptism, among the others that we know. If you're added to the church, then you can grow and develop as a child of God, and all this development then, as one who is in the body of Christ, is counted by God, or it is credited to your account, so to speak, spiritual laying up of treasures in heaven, and what a blessing and benefit that will be. But again, you have to be in Christ for that to be beneficial and profitable. But after becoming a part of the body of Christ, then, it's possible that we could be severed from Christ, that a branch can and is sometimes cut off. And therefore, Christ urges in John chapter 15 for us to stay connected to the vine. So by our choices, we stay connected, or by our choices, we, in essence, choose to be detached from the vine. If we cling to God and His Word and we keep His Word and we follow it faithfully, then we stay close to Christ. Because as he said, we cannot bear fruit apart from him. We must stay connected to him. You cannot grow spiritually apart from Christ in any meaningful way. But then another requirement for spiritual growth is, again, like we said, do like the babies do. Desire the milk. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. And then also 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, where Paul urges Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a Greek word translated, rightly dividing. And it means to teach correctly, to expound rightly. In other words, in order for you to properly explain to someone what the Bible teaches, you have to give diligence. You have to give diligence. And so we have to desire God's word and then diligently seek after it if spiritual growth is going to occur. And spiritual growth is obviously present in the life of someone who is able to properly divide or accurately teach God's word, because that takes some time and effort to know what the truth is and then be able to communicate that truth to others. It's a big step, isn't it, to say that I believe something and I know it in here, and then the next stage is being able to let it come out of here and communicate it in an effective way to another person. So that's a process of growth and development that we need to work toward as well. But that is a part of desiring the pure milk that God provides for us. And then another thing that we can do that will help us grow spiritually is to respond properly to the things in life that come upon us that are so difficult, the obstacles to our faith, the trials that occur. And James, of course, addresses this. And we mentioned this passage this morning in James 1, verses 2 and 3. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance." In other words, you are made to be stronger through this trial, and therefore trials are a means of growing spiritually. When you are able to work through that and you are able to keep going, that is an achievement that you have made, and it will help you in the process of conquering these types of things again and again. So it's enabling you to grow. And that's a necessary part of spiritual growth, is overcoming these trials to our faith. But what are some areas in which we can grow? Well, an obvious one is growing in our own personal character, becoming more Christ-like in our ways. And the fruit of the Spirit that is expressed or taught in Galatians chapter 5 is certainly a good place to focus our attention, because these are things against which there is no law. The works of the flesh condemn. The fruit of the Spirit enables one to grow more Christ-like and become more righteous and be that much closer to heaven. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wonderful things. And we already mentioned the Christian qualities that Peter enumerated in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Those also we can focus on, areas in which we can grow and develop ourselves personally. There are actions then that should be filling our lives. And this is something mentioned by Paul in Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So you're wearing the name of Christ. Live your life to reflect a manner of living that is honorable to one who wears that title, Christian. Walk worthy of the name of Christ. And then he says, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So good works of all sorts. Remember Dorcas or Tabitha, a woman who we're told was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She made things for the widows so that they would have their needs met. You know, this is a great example of faith in action. Someone who has grown spiritually and has put their skills and abilities to the service of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." So growth, increase, and mutual love and consideration within the body of Christ. And of course, there's the individual growth that we see in the life of one of the Scripture's greatest servants, the Apostle Paul, Acts 9 and verse 22. We're told, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." The Apostle Paul had been very familiar with the old law, the law of Moses, and, of course, the Pharisaic traditions that he had been educated in. But now he has taken on a completely different mindset. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a whole new gospel to preach, a whole new message. It's the true gospel. It's the message from heaven. And Paul began to preach this with great boldness, but he grew, we're told. He increased in his strength and in his knowledge, and he was able to communicate God's word very effectively. So these are all areas in which we can grow. But then finally, let's consider some of the benefits of spiritual growth. We will get great spiritual strength for ourselves, will help the church as well. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." So Paul's prayer for his brethren is he wants them to be strengthened in Christ Jesus. Spiritual growth enables this process of becoming a mature and strong person. A baby is not expected to be able to ward off attacks, but a strong, mature adult can. And that's what God wants us to be. And Paul's prayer was that they might develop and be strengthened in the inner man. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, we're to get to the point where we are such strong and mature people. Why? Because the strong and the spiritually mature people are the ones who have to be there for their brethren when their brethren fall into sin. Notice what Paul says. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, these are the ones who have grown and matured and developed, and they are strong spiritually. This is one of the benefits of spiritual growth. You can be there to help your brethren when they fall. That's a job specifically given to those who've come to this point in their Christian development. "You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So when you're stronger spiritually, you can help someone with their load, with the burdens that they bear. We also receive protection when we develop and grow spiritually. When you are spiritually advanced, when you've moved past spiritual infancy, you'll be able to recognize the wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll be able to recognize the danger areas where there is a trap set. You know, there are trackers, people who have the ability to just walk out in the woods and there's leaves all over the ground. It just looks like an ordinary place to us. And they can see where someone has walked, and they can trace the way of someone who has gone by this. They would probably be able to, and the army military used to employ trackers to check out certain areas, and they might even detect certain dangers as well, because they could see signs of, you know, where areas had been tampered with and might save lives as a result. Well, spiritually, we need to be there as well to protect and to be able to see the dangers that are there. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus taught his disciples that by their fruits you will know them. And he was talking about the false teachers, the wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll be able to distinguish what kind they are when you hear what they say. You'll recognize their fruit and you will know this one is not of God. The church was able to test and see whether there were these individuals who came to them were true apostles or false apostles, and they, by doing so, protected the flock. And so we must do as well. Spiritual growth enables us to do that. It also prevents us from falling away when we develop spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, in that section of Scripture, people are mentioned who Peter categorizes as untaught and unstable, and they do what? They twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. So here are individuals who are not spiritually advanced. They're untaught. They're unstable. But they take the Scriptures and thinking that they can manage them successfully, even though they haven't spent sufficient time, they manhandle them and it results in hurting others, and they themselves go astray. So he says in verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." And that's when he then says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you are not among those who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction, so that you're not led away by the error of the wicked." And then the final thing is that we see spiritual growth preserves us. We read of the patience or endurance that is developed when we, through trials, grow spiritually. James 1, verses 2 and 3, as we read earlier. So, when you develop endurance, that's a preserving power. Have you seen the documentaries of those animals on the run, the cheetahs behind them? They better have endurance. They better have some endurance, because if they don't and they slow down just a little bit, that paw is going to come out and their back end is going to be swept out from behind them. But if you can endure, if you can keep going and you can keep going, then you can get to safety and you'll be secure. Jesus has shown us the necessity of developing that patience. So preservation is achieved when we develop the perseverance that comes through the trials that we face. Furthermore, we're less vulnerable to Satan when we mature. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 describes Satan as a roaring lion. Of course, the lions often go for the young, and they go for the sick and the weak. Well, so when you develop spiritually and you grow, well, you're becoming stronger. You're less of a target, because now you're equipped with God's Word. You have the shield of faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit. Satan's less likely to mess with you. And that's true. He'll always seek our destruction, but we have more of ability to defend ourselves and to know how he works and thus be forearmed. In the parable of the soil, in Matthew chapter 13, we read in verses 20 and 21, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So you might begin your life with joy, but you better grow. And growing upward necessitates putting roots downward. And in order for the roots to go downward, that means you're going to dig down deep into God's Word, and you're going to fill your heart and mind with those ways. And you're going to do that on a repeated basis, over and over again, so that you can develop the strength and persevere through the trials and the hardships that come your way, so that you do not stumble so as to permanently fall. So our commitment to personal spiritual growth needs to be very, very high. Our children are depending upon us growing spiritually. We've got to lead them. Even our grandchildren are dependent upon us being strong for them, because we have that responsibility down the road when those little ones come to help instill God's Word in those hearts and minds as well. Our friends and neighbors, depend upon our spiritual growth, because when we are strong, we are more able to help them. Our own soul is dependent upon our spiritual growth, because Satan is not as successful with those who are standing upon the solid rock and are mature in the faith, and they have been eating and they have been exercising and they are fully fit, clothed with the spiritual armor that God has given. Now that's a person ready for spiritual battle who has grown in accordance with the expectation of God, the command of God, and through the enabling that God has made possible. As we've studied tonight, there are things that God's Word helps us to understand relating to spiritual growth, as we just mentioned. There are things that will hinder us from growing spiritually. We need to avoid those at all costs. We need to understand what is required. And the Scripture teaches us what we must do to grow, because there are beautiful benefits for ourselves and for all of those around us if we will grow. And of course, in the end, there's life eternal. You've got a home in God's house, a room that He has prepared for you. Your name is written there. And by all means, remember the truth that God not only wants you to grow, commands you to grow, He's going to help you in that process. Feed upon this wonderful book every day of your life. And may God bless us all as we seek to grow in Him. If you're not a Christian tonight, may your thoughts be troubled at the uncertainty of life going forward in that state, because God wants you to be deeply concerned about not being right with Him. Because when we understand that the judgment is ahead of us and that heaven and hell, that's all we've got at the very end of it all, and it's all based upon the choices that we make here and now, and the fact that we are all touched by sin, and there's nothing we personally can do to remove that sin. We depend completely on Christ. Then we see the urgency of learning what is required in order to be saved. The faith in Jesus, the repentance or turning from sin, the acknowledgement, I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, the baptism, the immersion in water, obeying a command that God gave so He can wash away all of our sins with the blood of His Son. When we do that, believing in the truth, that is, who Christ is, understanding the nature of the church to which we're going to be added, that it's not a part of all the confusion that men have created, that is a key part of then being brought into the family of God. And when we do obey, then we are added. And we have a God to help us. We will grow and develop as we put forth that effort, and God will use us to accomplish great, great things. The great characters of the Scripture that we all know since we were young, these individuals were people who throughout their lives grew, and look at the tremendous things they accomplished. You can be one of them. They were people, we're people, and God can use us, but growth is necessary for great things to occur. And may God help each one of us to realize that when we don't grow or where we've wandered astray, God is merciful, He's patient, He'll always receive us back, but we have to take a step in the right direction. And if you need to come home to Him tonight, we can help you, be restored, strengthen you as we stand and as we sing.